say, because I'll say it again in a little bit, but after the service is over, but our revival is 1 week away. And so we're going to be starting a revival meeting next Sunday morning. I know it's Mother's Day. We're not going to forget you, mothers. It's going to be a good day, but we're going to be beginning our revival meeting. Now, listen, we can't force revival, can we? We say often, oh, we're going to have revival. We don't know that yet. That's yet to be determined, but we do have a meeting scheduled. And so the only way that you will experience personal revival is if you are there. And so I want to encourage you. Pastor Aaron Denson is going to be here. He's going to be preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. I want to encourage you as a church member to be here at every service if at all possible. And I understand and I know and I want to warn you, the devil will put some things on your schedule this week. He's going to try to do that. I just want you to try to choose to be here. And so I'm encouraging you to do so, looking forward to what God is going to do. So there's my shameless plug for revival. There's also a ladies' banquet. I'll talk about that after the service. Well, if you found Exodus 5, I'm going to preach a message I've called this, Because God Said So. And this could be the shortest message in history. Because I could answer every question with, because God said so. Well, Pastor, why do we do that? Because God said so. Well, why should we do this? Because God said so. But you're not that lucky. I'm going to go ahead and preach the message. But I just want you to know, isn't that as parents we say that? Just because I said so. Do you know sometimes as a parent that's an acceptable answer? The world doesn't like that these days. You got to explain everything. There's good reason to explain stuff at times. Sometimes it's just because I said so. But we're going to look at this today, and I'm kidding a little bit. But we are to be the way we are because God said so. Exodus 5, verse 22. If you'll stand with me, if you have your place there. Now, our text today is rather long. It's Exodus 5. We're going to start in verse 22, and we're going to go all the way to chapter 7 and verse number 7. But I'm not going to read the whole thing while you're standing, so don't be fearful, but just hang in there with me because we have to incorporate this whole passage if we're going to get the point of the text this morning. So look at verse 22, Exodus 5. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to his people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. So pretty bold, but honest from the heart prayer from Moses. Verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do unto Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he shall let them go, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, skip, there's a genealogy inserted here. We're going to look at it in a sec. Skip that for a second. Go down to verse 28. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and he shall send the children of Israel out of his land. That he will send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs, my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use your word this morning. Sometimes the Bible is very simple in our lives. We're just simply commanded. There's just something that you have said, and we just simply need to obey it. And watch you do what you say you're going to do. Lord, I just pray that you'd help me preach the message this morning. Lord, clear out of my heart all distraction. And Lord, I just pray for liberty to preach. I pray that your spirit would do the speaking, that you would help us to both hear and understand your word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we read a rather long text, and it seems like as we read that, it's just more of the same. It's more of what Moses has been dealing with and what he's been going through. It's God commanding him to go and do this thing and tell the Pharaoh to let him go and tell the people of Israel that he's about to bring them out of the land. And here's Moses yet again just saying, but Lord, who am I to say this? And they're not going to respond well. And by the way, they don't respond well again, as we see in this text. But I want to emphasize for you a couple of things. And we skipped a genealogy in there, and we're going to get back to that. But I want to emphasize out of the text what we read. Look back in chapter 6, and I want you to see how many times God says something like this: I will, or I said, or I'm going to. Okay, look at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do. So God is going to do something. He says in verse 2 that he is the Lord. He appeared in verse 3 to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's giving Moses a new name. And then look at verse number 4. And I have also established my covenant. Verse 5. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Verse 8, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear it to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. And he closes with this: I am the Lord. You notice in those verses where God says over and over and over, I will do this, I will do that, I will bring you out, I will be your God, you will be my people, I will fulfill those promises that I made, over and over and over, the God of heaven saying, I am the Lord, I will do these things. So Moses goes to the children of Israel, and he says, God says he's going to do this thing. And what do they say? Well, they reject, because they say, hey, and even just a minute ago, before God gives Moses this word, Moses is praying, and he's saying something like this: you haven't answered the prayer, you haven't done what you have said you're going to do. And essentially he's saying, are you going, God, are you going to do what you said you're going to do. Look back in chapter 5. Look what Moses is praying. He's saying, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it thou sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Now, I said last week, if you were in the prayer meeting with Moses that day, you would have stepped back a few steps, because that's a very bold thing to say to God Almighty, is that, Lord, you're not doing what you said you will do. But God reiterates to him in chapter 6, oh, no, 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 I am the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am this God, and I will do this. I will do it. And he says over and over and over. At this point in Moses' life, he knows the plan of God. He has heard what God was saying he was going to do, but it just seems like he's not doing it. It just seems like to him that the plan is not working. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that you know that God's plan, you know God's way, you know what God wants, and you're trying to follow as best you can, but some part of you is going, God, are you going to do what you've promised that you will do? Now, I think that's both an honest place and a scary place to be, isn't it? Because we don't want to be questioning God. I mean, who am I? He could say to me, just like he said to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Well, guess what I was? I was just a thought in his mind at that point. That's all I was. And so, no, I can't accuse God of that. But I tell you, as people, when we're trying to do what God wants us to do and we understand what God would promise us, there are times where we think, man, is this really going to work out how God says? I use child rearing a lot in my examples, and it's basically because that's the life I'm living right now. Is, you know, we're trying to raise these little kids, and as a parent, have you ever tried to get a certain attitude out of a child, and you're just trying to do it the right way, and you're you think, man, are they ever going to get it? The Bible promises me that if I raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that he's going to help them to grow, and they won't depart from the faith and all those good things. And so as a parent, there are times where you're like, man, I don't know with these kids. I don't know if they're getting it at all. And I mean, mine are still very young, you know. I'm very impatient. I want them to get it now, you know. Earlier the better. Maybe in marriage or maybe in your prayer life, there's something you've been praying for and praying for and praying for. Maybe in soul winning, you've been witnessing to someone and they're not responding to the gospel the way that you expected them to. And so there's all these things. We could make a huge list of things that we know that God wants us to do, and we're trying to do them, but sometimes it seems like it's just not happening as fast as we would like. Can I just encourage you, before I really get into the message, just keep doing those things. You know, if you're parenting, just keep parenting in the with the Bible and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you're working on your marriage and you're trying to be a godly wife, a godly husband, just keep doing that thing, because God does have promises related to those things, and he will do what he says he will do. If you're praying for someone, just keep praying. Just keep praying. Don't give up. Just keep praying that God will answer that prayer. If you're trying to witness to someone, just keep witnessing. Whatever the Lord is calling you to do, just keep doing it. Moses has been in a tremendously difficult journey so far. And I believe in this chapter, in chapter 6, that really at the end of chapter 5, we find him at his very lowest point. Recall the things he's gone through. He already ran off to Midian, and he was there for 40 years. He's already given God every excuse and every fear that he can think of, and God's continuously picked him back up and given him more signs and given him more instruction. He keeps going to Israel, and Israel keeps rejecting him. And so they finally went to Pharaoh. We saw this just 2 weeks ago. They finally went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And guess what? It got worse, didn't it? Pharaoh said, hey, you guys have not enough to do, and he gave them more to do. It got worse for them. And so at the end of chapter 5, we see Moses really just, I believe, on his face before God, crying to God, God, are you going to do what you said you're going to do? Why have you treated this people so badly? Why have you sent me here? Why have not you delivered the children of Israel? God, why? No, God, are you going to do what you said you're going to do? In chapter 6, in verse 1, God answers Moses and speaks to Moses again. And again, we read it twice already, but he's picking him back up. He's helping him with his confidence. He's reaffirming the promises and the plan. So Moses, with a newfound confidence, goes to the children of Israel and says to them, God wants to do this thing. And what do? Again, they reject him. And so God doesn't even really respond to their rejection. He just says, all right, now go tell Pharaoh that. We all know what happens when he goes to the Pharaoh. In verse 10 and 11, we see, let me get there, it's chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, we see the Lord reaffirming the plan. Go in, speak to Pharaoh, that he let the children of Israel go out of his hand. This is what I want to do. Moses, in verse 12, gives one final, what's the use? Nothing's working. I don't know, you know, you guys are all much more spiritual than I am, but I've been in that place where I've thought, what's the use? Nothing's working. I've been there. I've been there where I thought, just why am I going through all this trouble? Why am I trying so hard? This thing isn't working. I feel like that's where Moses is in verse 12. He's like, God, I've already tried this like 3 times. Maybe the excuses I gave you were better than you thought they were. You know, maybe I really can't do this. How is Israel won't listen to me? Why would Pharaoh listen to me? In verse 13, notice there's a charge given. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, we're going to do a bit of Bible study here. We're going to look at this little bit of a genealogy here that's in the chapter. Because what's interesting is when we go to chapter 7, something has occurred in the life of Moses. We won't see Moses look back again after chapter 7. So there's been all this back and forth and giving excuses and going and Israel rejecting him and Pharaoh rejecting him and things getting worse before they get better and all that. But in chapter 7, Moses is going to go to Pharaoh, and before you know it, he is going to be putting signs before Pharaoh, and before you know it, God is going to be enacting his plan, and those plagues are going to be coming in on the land of Egypt. And there's no looking back for Moses after chapter 7. So God gives Moses a charge. Now, I want you to see this. In verse 14, notice it says, these be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok and Palu, Hezron, Carmi, these be the families of Reuben, and of the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Sheul, the son of the Canaanitish woman, these are the families of Simeon. So, have you ever been reading your Bible and you get to one of these genealogies and you just think, oh boy, here we go. Right? And you get to some of those passages in the book of Numbers pretty early on in the year, and there's all these lists of names, and this person beget this person, and they were this old when they died, and they were this old when they had a child, and those genealogies are tough reading, are they not? They're tough reading for me. So I would assume they'd be tough reading for you. And so many times you're thinking, why is this in here? Why do I need this? All the Bible is written for you. Not all the Bible is written about you. All the Bible is written for you. Not all the Bible is written to you. Did you know there's a point, there's a purpose? Every word that's in your Bible, there's a purpose for it. Every word. So I just have to know that every genealogy that is in the scriptures, it is there for a reason. And I've actually studied quite a few of them, and it's interesting when you see why God put a genealogy in the scriptures, where he put it, and what it did for the people of the day, and what it does for us historically now. There's all sorts of reasons for genealogies. Many of the Old Testament genealogies are to confirm the line of Christ, that the line of Christ came through the line of David, is to confirm all the different prophecies that are in the Bible concerning Jesus Christ. But there are other reasons genealogies are in the scriptures. Like when the children of Israel come out of the wilderness and all those that were 20 and upward had died. And so now you got this new generation of Israelites going into the promised land. There's genealogies given. Why? So they would know who's left. So they know who what the nation looks like and how many there are. You go to the books of the Kings, and you get to the end of the book of Kings, and you find that the Israelites went into the Babylonian captivity. They were pulled out of their land. They went to live with Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years. You open up 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles is one of the toughest ones for me. I get there, and I start reading, and I mean, it's a lot of names. You know what that is? Israel, understanding who Israel is after the Babylonian captivity. And so there's reasons for all these genealogies. So let me just say this. When you're going through a genealogy, just struggle through and read the genealogy. You may get through the whole thing and not have a clue why you read it. That's fine. Tomorrow you'll read something you'll have a clue about. Just struggle through and read it because there's a purpose that it's there. You could study and you could find out why it's there. But this genealogy is so neat. The one that's in this chapter is so neat. And I want to show you this. So this is a, we call it a parenthetical thought. All right. So a parenthesis is like when you talk like me, you try to say too many things in one sentence. So you need some parentheses. So you start out a statement and you think, well, before I finish this statement, I better give them this. And so you say, hold on, let me give you this. And you put a parenthesis in there and you say a few things. Then you close the parentheses. Then you finish your sentence. So a parenthetical genealogy here is as if Moses is telling us this story. By the way, who wrote this book? Moses wrote this. Okay, so we're going to get to that in just a second. But he's like, let me pause the story that I'm writing to you to give you a genealogy. You need to understand something about what's going on here. So this is a parenthetical genealogy. In other words, we're pausing the story. After the genealogy, though, we're going to pick up the story. Now, let me prove that to you. Look at verse 13. Actually, look at verse 12. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, let's go down to the end of the parentheses. Okay, so go to verse 26. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on that day, which day? That day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? You see how he has brought us back to the story. So he says, God came to me. He told me to go speak to the children of Israel, go speak to Pharaoh. I responded to God. I'm of uncircumcised lips. How could I go and speak to Pharaoh? Then he gives us this genealogy. Then he comes back after the genealogy. He says, it was that day. It was that day that God came to me and said to go speak to them, and I told God I'm uncircumcised lips. It was that day when I got the charge. What charge? The charge that was promised in verse 13, the charge that was given in chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. So what Moses is doing is he's now, when he, okay, what's the charge? Just see, here's a parenthesis from me. Pause that thought. Here, what's the charge? Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses. Now, listen. You're going to see God basically say this. Go do what I told you. No excuses. That's the charge. I'm done hearing all your little back talk, Moses. I'm done hearing about who am I and all that. We all know who you are. Go do what I've said. Exodus 7, see, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. You know what I'm saying? you're going to do this thing, Moses. And Aaron, thy brother, shall speak unto Pharaoh, and that he shall send the children of Israel out of the land. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs. Verse 4, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies. Verse 5, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 6, and Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. So here's what's happening. Moses is saying, I've been trying. I go to the children of Israel. They reject me. Pharaoh's rejected me. So I go to God and I'm complaining to him. And God tells me, you need to go do this thing. And I once again respond, Lord, I'm of uncircumcised lips. How can I do that? Now, before I finish my story, let me give you a genealogy. And then after the genealogy, he picks right back up and says, it was this day that the Lord gave me this charge. And in chapter 7, it's God saying, no more excuses, thou shalt. Go do it. I want to use that Christian cuss word. Shut up. Shut up, Christian, and do what I've told you to do. I feel like God wants to tell me that all the time. Son, just hush your mouth and go do what I've said to do. Why should I do that, God? Because he said so. So now the parentheses. Here is Moses. Now, we know Moses wrote this book. We know that he interrupted the story with a genealogy. We also know that Moses wrote this book near the end of his life. So how do we know that? Well, because this genealogy mentions people that he wouldn't have known yet in this point in the story. So in this genealogy, he's writing this later. You understand, hindsight is what? 2020. Moses is writing this down in hindsight. He's saying, he's near the end of his life, he's long gone, he's long been away from Pharaoh, and he's scribing down the book of Exodus for us, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to throw in a genealogy. And of course, it's God working through Moses. Moses is not deciding what would be written. But we know it's toward the end of Moses' life because, there's things he writes in this genealogy that he would not have known about on the day that God gave him that charge. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's just read a few. So in the first couple verses there, I already read those, but that is the sons of Reuben. Then we have the sons of Simeon, verse 15. So what's going on here is we're going to have the sons of the children of Jacob, okay? Reuben, Simeon, Levi. It actually stops with Levi, but you could go Judah. You could go down through the list. But he gives Reuben's sons in verse 14, doesn't really elaborate, just gives it. Verse 15, he gives Simeon's sons, doesn't really elaborate, just sort of gives it. Then he gets to the sons of Levi. Now, the whole point of this genealogy is to establish who Moses and Aaron were and who they came from. Now, the reason I know that is because it says in verse 26, these are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said. So Moses is like, just in case you're confused about who Moses and Aaron are, I'm going to give you a family history. They're the sons of Levi. So within the sons of Levi, we have a Kohath given, verse number 18. And the sons of Kohath, Amram and Izkar and Hebron and Uzziel, the life of the years of Kohath were 130 years. Now, if you study a little bit further, you'll find that Amram came from Kohath. And Amram in verse 20 took Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. So we're getting some history about Moses and Aaron, their family, where they came from. But there's something interesting here. He mentions verse 24, the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah, Asir and Elkanah and Abiasaph, these are the families of the Korathites. And Eleazar's son, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel, the wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their family. So he mentions Korah. He mentions Phinehas. Now, this is really neat. Korah, years later, is going to come to Moses in rebellion. You know the story? Korah comes to Moses and he says, "You sons of Levi, you take too much on yourselves." And basically tells Moses, "Who are you to be in charge here? We think we ought to be in charge." You know what happens to them? The earth opens up and swallows them. Really cool story. Don't you wish people who opposed you, the earth would just open them up? And of course you don't, because you're a good Christian person. You would never want that to happen. Listen, that had not happened the day Moses gave Aaron, or that God gave Moses the charge. That hadn't happened yet. You know what Moses is doing here? He's saying, he's like writing this story, and he's like, "Y'all, I wasn't really believing God. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, but I'm going to give you some names here that are living proof that God did what he said he was going to do. I'm going to give you some references to some events that happened much later in my life. And now as I'm sitting here in my old age, I'm writing about this story, I think, how silly was it that I questioned God? Because Pharaoh wasn't even the top of the problems. I had to deal with Korah too." Hindsight's 20/20. He mentions Phinehas. It's an interesting thing to mention because Phinehas or Phinehas would be a prominent character not only in Moses' life. We see him in the life of Joshua, and we see him even mentioned in the book of Judges. See, what Moses is doing is he's showing us that he is writing this story of his lack of trust, his lack of obedience. He's writing this story long after he finally obeyed. And what he's essentially saying is this: I got a lot more stories I can tell. God did exactly what he said he was going to do. I didn't stay in Egypt. Pharaoh wasn't the biggest challenge that we had. I could tell you about Korah, and I could tell you about Phinehas. I could tell you about all these other stories. Notice verse 26 and 27. I didn't notice this until I really studied this, but verses 26 and 27, it's interesting. They are written in past tense. So the verses before the genealogy are written in the present tense, like we're reading the story like we would a novel. But notice verse 26. "These are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, 'Bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies.' These are they which spake," see that? "Spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel." Now, if they spake to him, that means they already did it, right? But we haven't got to the chapter where they did that yet. You see, what Moses is doing, he's saying, look, as he's looking back on this, he's pinning this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, yep, I went to God and I said, "How can I do this, God? I have uncircumcised lips. I'm not able to do this thing." And God said to him, or he's like, but let me give you my history. He gives us a little history, some other names. He says, "It was me who spake to Pharaoh." You know what he's saying? He's like, I finally got around and I did it. I just went and did what God said for me to do. And now, because the chronology really helps us to understand, he's looking back and he's saying, God did everything he said he would do. God never in this charge, never in this whole book, agrees with Moses' excuses, complaints, or lack of confidence. He just keeps telling Moses, do what I've told you to do. And sure enough, God did do exactly what he told Moses he was going to do. And I can tell you this morning, based upon the authority of the Word of God, that if God says it, He will do it. It's the end of it. The problem is not with God. The problem is with us. God says, this is what I want you to do, son. And we say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I can do that. And we wrestle around with it the whole time. God's like, if you will just do what I've told you to do, I'll do what I said I'll do. I could go through 1,000 examples. But if we sing this song, see, I feel like every church service, we could get up and sing Trust and Obey. And I could get up as a pastor and say, because God said so, and then we could all go home. That is the Christian life. Trust God. He's trustworthy. His word is true. Trust Him. What does that mean? Believe in Him. Rely upon Him. Put confidence in Him. Trust Him. Moses, trust God. Sure, you can't do it. No one can. God can. He said He would. Trust Him. Trust God. Obey Him. How do I show I trust God? Obey Him. Obey Him. Just do what He said. I promise if you do those two things, you could get to the end of your life. How do I know that? Well, I don't know if I'm at the end of my life yet or not. No one knows that, but I don't think I am. But I know some believers who have gotten to the fourth quarter, we'll just say it that way. And they look back at their life and they said, you know what? I wasn't always confident, but I trusted God and I did what God asked me to do. I've never heard one of them say, never had one person testify that God didn't fulfill His part. Never. They always testify and they say, you know what? God was faithful. His promises were true. Turns out, He was trustworthy. You know what? That's what Moses is doing. He puts this genealogy in here to inform us. I'm writing this after this all took place. I can look back. There's all these people born after this. I mean, I'm just telling you, God did exactly what He said He would do. Trust Him. Obey Him. Again, we could get very specific. We look at various examples. You know, I want to. It's almost noon. Everyone's hungry. I try not to get between you and lunch. I try not to. I'm not stupid. But you know, God tells us many times to do things that we think we can't do that. You know, when God tells a Texas guy to move to Wyoming, you understand? There's some trepidation. Okay? It's a total leaving of the comfort zone, right? You say, well, how do you know He told you? I know. I know. And really, that's between me and God how He told me, but He told me. I just believe if I'd come, He'd work. Just believe it. I've just been here. It's way too early to tell, right? Oh, you're still like, I don't know how this guy's going to do. It's not about me. That was Moses' problem. He thought it was about him. It's not about me. I am nobody. Like, anybody can come up and preach a message. But when we trust God and we obey Him, He can do great things. I can tell you this. Early in my life, my dad, he taught me to give. I remember as I was a little kid, and I would get $3 a week allowance. The Tooth Fairy does better than that these days. But I got three bucks a week. I remember it. Three $1 bills a week I'd get for allowance. And every Sunday, my dad made sure I had three dimes to put in the offering plate. Because he taught me what a tithe was. A tithe is 10%. And as a little kid, he said, son, if I'm going to give you this, you're going to give back to the Lord. I can tell you this. There's been a lot of times I didn't want to give that 10%, or I didn't want to give to missions because the budget was a little tight, or I didn't know where that next bill would get paid, or whatever. I can honestly stand before you today and tell you I have never lacked a single thing in my life. I've never missed a bill. I've never missed a meal. God has been faithful. I remember one time, and I say these examples, I'm not trying to lift me up. Listen, I am nobody, but I believe God. One time I was working in the sound booth, and we had, this was years and years ago, I was probably 20 years old, and we had a lot of people in our church that needed hearing help, hearing aid protection to hear. Hearing aid protection, not protection. They needed to hear the preaching and the singing. And so there was this little box. I think we have them back there, but there was a little hearing aid system that we could get that, you know, would allow them to hear the messages through the thing. And I remember going to my pastor and being like, hey, pastor, we really need these things. Do you think we could get those? And he said, I tell you, he said this, if you're burdened about it, maybe you should put your money where your ministry is. I think that's how he worded it. And he essentially challenged me to go get the things myself. They were $1,000. I was 20 years old or 21, somewhere in there. College, broke. I ate, just to be honest, I ate pretty good. But I ate a lot of ramen noodles and stuff too. I'm not trying to tell you. I mean, God's been good. But I remember I had the money in the account, and I thought, well, if I give that up, that's it. You know what happened? I put that in the offering. I didn't put an offering. I ordered the thing. I just ordered the thing. Within one week, my dad came to me and said, son, at work, they gave me this bonus. He's like, I just want to be a blessing to you and your sister. I'm going to give you a little bit. He handed me a check for $1,000. You know what that is? That's God being faithful. That's all it is. I can tell you over and over and over. One day, me and my wife were just, you know, living life but struggling. The money was tight and all that. We're struggling. And we had talked about that week. Well, we got to buy groceries. If you've ever been struggling where you thought, where are the groceries coming from? You understand that's a struggle. We didn't tell anybody. We just prayed. We just put our tithe in the offering plate like we're supposed to do. We just continued. I'll never forget, a preacher came up to me. He hit me right. I was right here in front of the pulpit. He came up to me and he said, hey, Jeremy, some people in our church just gave me this envelope, wanted me to give it to you. And I said, who was it? He said, I can't tell you. I said, what's in here? He said, I don't know. I said, well, you're very helpful. Thank you. Took the envelope, opened it up. It was $200 gift cards to United Grocery. I started crying right there on the spot. I went home. I showed my wife. She started crying right there on the spot. We went and bought groceries. I haven't been alive that long. I'll tell you this. God will do what he says he's going to do if you do what he says to do. How do I know? God says so. Lord, we are thankful for your work in our lives. And Lord, I hope I don't share any of those things to puff me up. Lord, I can stand up here. I can share hundreds of mistakes I've made. You know that. These people know that. But God, we've all been in places where you've told us something to do. You know we know we're supposed to do it. Lord, help us to trust and obey, knowing that at the end of our story, we'll look back and know that you're faithful. Father, we pray that you continue to work in our time of invitation. We thank you for how good you are to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, heads bowed?